We are in the middle of a series. If you're just joining us, it's available. There we are. This is us. We're looking at this for a few weeks. I don't know how long. We never do series, but this is, God laid this real heavy on my heart. Now, this is not just for men, although it's kind of for men. But there's something in here for everybody, especially ladies. I said last week, when a man gets serious about following Christ and becoming the man he can be, everybody thrives. Right? So week one, this is what we said. I got a lot today, so we're going to fire fast. I believe that we have a spiritual enemy. His name is the devil. Some churches don't like talking about him. They're calling him the enemy, but he's honestly the devil. It's Lucifer. And he's after men. I said last week, some people think men is head. That's not the posture God's talking about at all. The posture, not lord it over people, beat up your wife, that garbage, that needs to end real fast, 20 years ago. Head of the house means you go first. We'll talk about that next week. But what I said last week is, mama catches the kids, okay? And dad and the man is supposed to catch mama and the kids, and guess who they fall into? The arms of Jesus Christ. That's the model. And so what has the enemy done, especially in certain minority groups and ethnicities? Take the men out of the picture. They don't parent. They don't stick around. They don't be a man. You understand what I'm saying? And the whole thing crumbles. That's what we're looking at. So the devil's after our men. And what does he do? What does he do? I said there was two different attacks the enemy seems to be doing in at least our country, our where we're at in the Western world. Number one, he attacks with apathy. It's the reason that 70% of churches are full of women. The devil says to the man, but it's football Sunday. Don't go get around people that I can give you wisdom how to do life. Don't go shake hands with dudes that are in the same position as you. Don't do it. Meh is the posture we get. Do you understand what I'm saying about that? You guys probably heard it last week, but sorry, that's humming every time I talk. That's really annoying. That's better. Apathy. And most people, like I said, they're not going to sit there, Maddie, and go, well, Jesus isn't real. He's not the way. No, they don't even have time to think about this stuff because, meh. That's what the enemy does. And another man falls, another man falls, another man falls. Let me rephrase that. I got a lot for you today. Let me rephrase that. Apathy, even in our marriages. I even heard this one guy say, I told you I loved you when I married you. If it changes, I'll tell you. What? No, that is not how you do that. Men tend to think that once the water boils, you're good. Keep applying heat. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's a good one. That's apathy, though, and men are really, we're all subject to it. And I said last week, apathy is dangerous because it's the easiest thing to fall into, but the hardest thing to recognize in our lives. So last week I said, check your sixes. Check your corners. Is there any area of apathy in my life? Lord, can you show me? And I hope, guys, that you were that man that did what I asked. And went home and said, Father, show me any areas of apathy. He showed some in my life, and I'm working on them. There were some areas of apathy in my life that were keeping me from being the man that Jesus wants me to be. And so I asked him, show me areas of apathy. And he did. God loves to answer those type of prayers. You know that? Number two way that the enemy tries to take out our men, and this is just a recap, is wrong ideas of Jesus. Number one was killjoy Jesus. If I trust my life to him and follow him, I'm not going to be able to have any fun anymore. Because those Christians over there in the corner are beating each other up over tattoos and booze and whatever it may be. So I don't want to join the fray. Remember the old cartoons where it would just be a cyclone with stars and stuff popping out? That's hilarious, and I deserve laughter for that. That's how the outside world sees the church, guys. Anybody? You're socking each other. Unfortunately, but you know what? Guilty. I can admit that I've joined that fray before. Shooting at family members on Facebook that aren't this. And they go, I don't want part of that. I'm not going to jump into that Tasmanian whoosh going on there. I'll continue to not follow him because all he wants to do is take my fun. Well, the reality is the Lord disciplines those he loves. He gives us a better way to do life, rules, boundaries, and limitations because he cares. And I said before, this is very simple. I don't parent your kids because I don't love them. I parent my kids because I love them. You see what I'm trying to say? They get the rules, boundaries, and limitations. Killjoy Jesus. And the last part we ended up is, as we're on our way to becoming that man, is he tries to, this is the little pill that he had the Western world swallow. Jesus is this long-haired, pale-skinned, blue-eyed wuss. That looks more like a girl than the portrait of our masculinity. He's just this, please guys, everybody just get along, come on. That's what we've been sold. And yet, when we actually read his word and what he gave us, we see, None of that. We see a man who never asked anybody to do anything he commanded. And all of a sudden, my back gets straight, and I go, okay, so maybe Gladiator and Die Hard are not what a real man is, like culture's trying to get me to swallow. What about, and you see Jesus protecting, providing, like I said in the prayer, protecting women, Samaritans, whatever it is, but also, he was not to be flexed with, right? He was not to be flexed with. And people like myself and Chris and Shainer and Gordo, we go, who's that Jesus? That strong, tough, I am the creator, eternal God. I would lead my family against him and my finances. I would trust and follow him with strength and honor. But was he Jesus who says, just get along. And if you want to follow me, men, become women. That Jesus I will not follow. And that's what America is dealing with. Aside from the Passion of the Christ, that's what we've been dealt, haven't we? Mainstream culture. Well, didn't Jesus say, misquoting scripture at us like somebody else did somewhere in the middle of the Bible, temptation of Christ? Well, this, okay, I don't want to go off. That was last week. Okay. Sorry. Week number two. We're on a journey together. Again, a series. I don't normally do series. God is really speaking this out. Why are we going to take this journey as men? And this journey could actually really change us as a group, okay? And Norwood, I know it can. Because again, if the men start doing what the men are supposed to be doing, everybody thrives. So why are we taking this journey? Why is God crying out to men in the season to throw off the old, the, well, I've always just, or this is how Dad did it, and focus intentionally on his goal? I'm going to hit a point before we go on. This is going to be a bonus point. It's so funny how we don't think about this stuff, but before we go into what's at stake in becoming that man that Christ is following us to, what's at stake, I want to teach you something really quickly. And this is so profoundly simple. In your life, you hit and arrive to where you aim. Some of you have heard me say that. Other people, their mouth drop open because I say things like this. Where are you, men, where are you aiming your marriage? Where's it going to be in a year? 3 years, 5 years. A majority of us watching online and sitting in this room go, I never looked down at the gun. I don't know. What about parenting? Where's your parenting headed? Where are you aiming your parenting? And again, even if you're not full parents, you've got nieces, nephews, what are you trying to be in their lives? Who are you in their lives? I don't know. You hit where you're aiming. You hit where you're aiming. And let me get on this. I knew it. What's your relationship with the kid looks like now? What are we purposely making sure it's going to look like in this amount? How about your finances? Because if you don't know, then logically, how can you have expectation for outcome when you don't know where it's aimed? And I'll tell you what we do. Because again, we're getting a lot of these, and me too, but we're learning. Jesus, in becoming that man or woman, you have a choice. Just because you didn't look where you aimed before, today can be the day where you change that. So anyway, here's what we do. We don't know where we're going, but look, ready, follow me on this one. And this is why today is different for everybody in this room. We hit a crappy target, a hurtful, trying situation, hard patch in life, and we turn to God and go, you're not doing your job. What are you doing? You're not taking care of me. And he could say to us, you hit exactly where you aimed. What are you talking about? You spent out of control. You never looked at that bank account and said, where is every single penny that you've trusted me? Where is that all going? But I can't. Anybody? Or I just floated in the marriage. I didn't go talk to anybody who had what I wanted. I didn't read any books on it because I don't like to read because I'm apathy. I didn't do anything like that. But now she's ready to give up on me. And, well, what did you do? Nothing, but I didn't get what I wanted. Do you see? I mean, I don't even have to be. Jesus is just giving you this wisdom. Hey, guys, this is how I created you. You are little creators. Matter of fact, remember when I created you? Stay with me theologically, because this is not the Dr. Phil show. When I created you, you guys were to be what? Lowercase g, gods among this world. So I gave you the power of creation, of direction. The power of life and death is in your tongue, and you're doing nothing? And then you yell at me like I'm not taking care of you? And I don't ever feel like I have to defend God. I don't. But isn't this true in our lives? And if you can't get there, how about your kids? Because you always say to them, you do. You ask them, so what's the plan for where are you? Right? And you're saying exactly what I'm saying up here. Where are you aiming your life? Where's the parenting going? Where's the finances going? Where are you going to live? How's the career going? And our kids always go like this. It'll all just work out. What planet do you live on, dude? No, it doesn't. We hit where we aim, you guys. And here's the thing. Oh, man. I could just keep going with examples, you know. Someone says, this person doesn't respect me around the house, blah, blah, blah. And I could say to them, well, what do you consistently do to earn their respect? And in order to take issue, you know, right? Because, I mean, you take issue with this, but you're not pouring in the positive either. You're not aiming anywhere. My kids are out of control. I can't take it. I'm going to throw my hands up. What did you aim your parenting at? What did you do to go get the tools you were never given to do this job of parenting? Because we weren't given the tools to do it. But you know what we do as men most of the time? We do nothing. 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 We don't. Where are we aiming? There's books. There's videos. There's other people in our communities. We don't do anything. And we wonder why we miss the target. We're tempted to give up on our kids. It's true. It's true. And it's hard truth. And that's why I like it. If you aim at I don't know, you're always going to get mediocrity or worse calamity. If you aim at I don't know, you're always going to get mediocrity or worse calamity. Good, right? Worth tweeting, worth putting on your Facebook. Guys, we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Wish I had a heavy metal band up here to go dun 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 dun. We get to create. We get to live life on purpose. We don't have to float like everybody else does. Geez, I hope I get that job, and if I don't, I'm going to be broke. No. We've got a God that's taking care of us at every turn. We've got a God that can heal a marriage like that. I've seen it happen a billion times. That's, of course, hyperbole, but lots of times. Right? God can do anything because our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other, and yet we do nothing with it. Can I draw your attention to something? We have guns, metaphorically. We miss that. We have the power to aim our lives. And that's why God has taken time to say, where are you aiming it, man? You can become the man that you know deep down that you can be. You can become that man. That man that acts like me and changes the world around you, not changed by the world around you. We can do this, guys. If you're aiming at nothing, you're going to end up with mediocrity or calamity. If you aim it, I don't know, it always derails. All right. That's the way of the world, man. We are promised something different, only and available through Jesus Christ and his power. Only if we're willing to step up and be that man, and aim, a man that aims our purpose in every area at Jesus, where he says it's supposed to be. And when it's not aimed there, we correct it. There's another difference. This is huge. I'll give you a little spoiler. At the end of the song, at the end of the service, we're going to sing "Lord, I Need You," because men, you should feel the weight of this. This is very, very heavy, and that's why we crawl, right, Mike? We crawl to Christ Jesus. Don't check out from how hard this is and impossible this is going to be these next few weeks. But with God, all things are possible, says Jesus. I'm beckoning you to something most men, even most men hearing my voice right now, will never do. They won't. They'll quit. Because it gets hard. What you gotta realize is when it gets hard, you don't try harder, you surrender more. Bruce, Navy SEALs guys, they were talking about, you just read a Bud's book, right? Again, we're using lots of man metaphors because men don't want to serve a wussy Jesus who can't hold them up. And during the naval training, Navy SEALs, they would say, this one guy was like, yeah, on day two, what we do is we try to break you. We try to get you to the end of your strength to see what you're made of. And I was really into it, you know, as any guy would be like, yeah, part of me wants to fail out of that thing. But I'm not made for that at all. But John, what got me about this one is me now, you know what happens at the end of my strength? God takes over. What am I made of? I'm made of the same stuff that resurrected Christ Jesus. It's not about me anymore and my strength. So as we're doing this and it seems daunting, get that. I'll never let it crush you. You do everything you can. Surrender to me. Surrendering is the try. Do you understand? Okay, let's keep going. Yeah, that's just all preamble. Here's some reasons why we want to stand and become that man. I'm not going to rush through this series. I tend to do that because I get excited preaching, but anyway. Number one, let's look at what's at stake in this struggle. I said before, probably a couple months ago, you can get through anything if you have a good enough why. You talk to that woman who's working two jobs because she's raising that kid by herself. And you're saying, you're not getting any sleep at night. Why are you doing this? So my kid can eat. You got a good enough why, you can do anything. I saw a woman this week with her bare hands killed an adult leopard over in the East. Oh, yeah, the adult leopard was stalking her little kid. And with her bare hands, she destroyed the leopard. They had pictures of the leopard and they had pictures of her. And they both were in a fight, but one was still breathing. Right, dude? Listen, if you ask her why the 6-inch laceration here and the face all jacked up, and because for my kid, you can get through anything if you have a good enough why and you focus on it. But again, that's kind of aiming the gun, isn't it? Well, here's why. Here's why we're doing this. What's at stake in our masculinity? Let's look at something. We don't have much scripture today, but powerful stuff we're working out of. And I want to give credit to Flatirons Church that has a creative team that let me use this. They're super sweet and let me use a nice picture. Pause. Time out. Our king, our warrior king, who's not a wuss, was taken on the Pharisees, and he taught us a really cool truth. And this is kind of obscure, Walt. It just kind of sits there and goes away. This is what everything I'm preaching out of in this. Ready for our culture? Let me do this. God, give me grace not to speak too fast. Jesus himself in the book of Luke says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and he divides up the spoils. Jesus was talking around about a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Because they were saying, oh, Jesus, you're casting out demons by the power of the devil. And Jesus is like, do you hear yourself talk? That makes no sense at all. And then Abraham Lincoln quoted that, did he not? Because he saw that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. We either all got to be for slavery or all not for slavery. That's the grounds by which he fought. Because he trusted the Lord Jesus. He was that man. And he understood this. Now, in our lives, when a strong man fully armed guard his own house, his possessions are safe. So here's the thing. When a man made strong, who has become that man in the Lord Jesus' strength, when he purposefully takes on the job of husband and father, when he decides, yes, I'm going to guard her and them in the strength of the Most High God, his possessions, all that he has is safe. His kids, his grandkids, his marriage. When a strong man, when that man that we're talking about, when he steps up and does the job and doesn't abdicate it to someone else, he's safe. They're safe. But enter 2017 in our culture. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, when you've not been made strong and you're not doing your job and you're easily overpowered by the enemy who is real, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted, anything besides the Lord Jesus of Christ, and he divides up the spoils. What are the spoils, men? Your wife and your kids. And spoils divides up means has his way with it. Does whatever he wants with your wife and your kids. When we abdicate the responsibility of becoming the man that God is calling us to become, and you wonder why everybody's acting crazy and things are falling apart underneath us. Because Dad didn't do this. I'm not coming at you. Today's a new day. Dad didn't do this. He didn't step up and become that man and continuously grow in Christ. And his house got rocked by it. This is what happens. Jesus teaches us this, guys. And you know what's funny is, Jesus has a way of doing this. Look at this physically, okay? Who in here thinks it's a good thing for each husband and father to know how to defend their home? Okay. And even if you're one of these people that want to disarm America and all that, how about your kids' home? Oh, yeah, somebody should protect my kids, yeah, or my grandkids. So get there, okay? Physically, it's a good thing for each husband and father to know how to defend their home. And I'm not talking theoretically. I'm talking about your family, like I said. Does anybody want their daughter marrying a man who refuses to learn how to be strong, who's weak enough that your daughter would be the one in the middle of the night that would go down and try to take him on? Not my first choice, right? Because actually, ready? I've married several people to each other, lots of marriages. And you do this thing where father walks them down. Walt did it. Bruce did it in my presence. And you give away, right? I have been protector and provider. I have been the strong man, said Walt and Bruce, over their daughters. Now I'm trusting that you will be, correct? So you're trusting that this person will become that strong man now. You're relieved of duty. And he says, I will till death do us part. You watch it happen, right? Boy, I hope our daughters marry that man. I really do. But again, physically, we can see that this is very important, right? Yes, every man should be able to defend. It should. In other words, here's what I'm saying. Feminism out the window for a second. I think it's men's responsibility to step up and be this man. Because out of love, absolutely, out of love. And what woman wouldn't want to feel taken care of in that way and know that her children are safe? I look at it this way. We'll take a pause for a second. We'll power down a minute because it's going to get harder. I think it's important. I do. And I hope that Izzy's two, a lot of years, but I would ask that, you know, I'd hope she'd have a man who could be bothered to learn a little bit of self-defense, you know, take care of himself, that kind of stuff. Sidebar, me and my pals, this is kind of a joke, but we're talking about a man series, so this is something I'm going to throw out there. We were trying to get together and do a man camp this summer. I think it's important to get out there and do that stuff, even though I live in the woods anyway. So me and my buddy Greg, Greg was a motocross racer. You guys have heard about him. Also going to be a lawyer. So he was like, oh, you want to learn how to ride a motorcycle? Come up to my father's farm in Plattsburgh. We'll ride the little, so you're not pushing around a big 700-pound hog. And then Pete's like, oh, I would like to do that too. Could we also shoot guns, maybe? And I said, I think I can arrange that. What type? And he's like, all of them. And I said, I've got them all. Let's do that. And so we started to compile a list. And this is half jokey. I'm just kidding around for a second. But it's also kind of cool to think about these things. We compiled the list. It got up to 10, but we whittled it down to 5 things we feel that every man should know. This is not comedy. You're looking at me like you're expecting it. I feel like every man should have, and this is not me preaching, this is now AJ, your friend, okay? I feel like every man should have basic understanding and be proficient in most types of firearm. In other words, that shotgun, that pistol, that rifle, me no difference. I'm not saying be a marksman, but understand a firearm, because there's a lot of fear of them. Ooh, it's in the boat with me? It doesn't explode, Pete. Like, let me show you how it works, you know? Number 2, be able to throw one good punch. I don't care how old you are, always know kinetic linking, be able to throw one good punch, because if you can, there may be a day when you need it, okay? Number 3, be able to drive stick. I don't care if they stop making them all together. Learn, you know, the basic idea of it. Motorcycles are the same way. Clutch, wet clutch, first try clutch. But the knowledge transferred over and I got on the bike and I could ride. Don't trust the car to do it for you all the time. Maybe you learn how to do that. How do I put this? Are there any kids in the room? Learn to become proficient in the marital bedroom. That's number 4 in no specific order. What? I'm not going to leave it out. That's something you should put effort into. That's all I'm saying as we're talking about being men. Number 5, learn simple disarms. That's just me. If someone puts a pistol on me, I have 2 different disarms, how to do it. I don't want to ever have to use it, but it's something I want to learn. Just talking about living life on purpose and putting out man lists. So I bring this up, but honestly, not just to be funny, but I bring this up because physically we can all agree, and we watch movies and say, that, you know, that's a man. Physically tough, committed to his family, able to do what he needs doing. You know what movie came to me when I was writing this? The movie Taken. It's perfect. It's not my family. I'm going to use my strength and leverage it to perfect and provide for my family physically. Perfect, right? And I don't care that they did 3. People said they should have done 3. I enjoyed them. Liam Neeson, I will find you and I will kill you. What about spiritually, though? That's my thing. Because you have a war going on right now, whether you admit it or not. And there's my point. This is not a hypothetical. This is happening. It's not like the physical where it's like, well, someone may try to break into my home. Someone may try to victimize my family, try to hurt my family. But the enemy, the devil, actually is opposing you and trying to hurt your family right now. This is something you have to understand. And the Lord of the Rings, not a huge Lord of the Rings fan, but the movies were awesome. And I can see Tolkien was a genius. But there's a good line in it. You ready? Men. This is important. We're asking, what's at stake? Why are we doing this? There's a king, and Aragorn rides there with his pals, and he says, hey, listen, there's a fight coming, ready for war, man. And Theoden says, I will not risk open war. And Aragorn says, open war is upon you, whether you would risk it or not. And that's us, guys. Open war is upon us, for our families, for our sons, our daughters, and our marriages. You may never have a physical intruder come into your family and try to harm, but you have a spiritual enemy that is trying to right now. Let's do this thing. And what's he like? What does Jesus himself say? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, which is funny because it ties so well into breaking into your home, doesn't it? And I didn't even do that on purpose. In fact, it's a different book. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. When becoming that man, Bruce, it's already happening. It's already happening. It's not, well, maybe the devil will oppose. No, he is opposing Blake and Alex and our kids and our families. This is what's happening. So we're in week 2 of this series trying to figure out, what does it look like to follow Jesus as a man? What does he desire of us? And we run into this truth. War is upon you, and yet so many men abdicate this responsibility for their wives, their kids. Now let's get practical for a second. What do you mean, AJ? Well, You tried over and over to correct little Johnny and his temper, but he just wore you down. And you say something like this, I can't deal with this. So I just ignore it, or I never teach him how to navigate that emotion positively. Or day after day, your teenage daughter came down dressed that way, in a way that was way too revealing. And every time you tried to correct it, she yelled at you and said, you don't know it. It's fashion. You're lame, Dad. So you gave up. But here's the problem. You're not giving up a fight. The dress or the behavior. When we do this, we're giving up on them. And that's what we need to understand as a society. When the war starts happening and the fights are happening, you think, I'll just give up that battle. You're not giving up the battle. You're giving up on them. Steph nodded, and I really appreciate this, because when you start talking to middle schoolers, and you can see they're headed down this path that leads to steal, kill, and destroy, destruction, and they're just jacking up their life, and you sit there and you say, what's your relationship like with your parents? And he says, Mom doesn't care that I watch those type of movies, that I talk like this, that I dress like this, or stay up late. Mom doesn't care. Mom doesn't care. And so when we're having to do these things, it's not as dramatic sometimes as slinging a sword at an enemy or taking a stone and whipping it at Goliath. Sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's day after day after day after day fighting battles that you know are godly battles with your kids, because you're not fighting the subject matter. You're fighting for them. You got to do it. We have to do that. And that's what we as men, you stand at the door and your legs get tired, so you walk away metaphorically. We can't be doing that, man. A strong man will stand guard against the things that are making war against your family. And if you don't, what happens? Little Johnny's temper is going to get him into trouble. And what does it look like when he's 5? What does it look like when he's 16? Juvenile hall. It's true, man. And she might wear that stuff. And what does it look like now? Well, eventually it's going to look like someone treating her like she's dressing, which is an object, and hurting her and dividing up the spoils. You're not fighting them. That's another thing, guys. It's so easy to think that when that man is standing at the door fighting for his marriage and fighting for his kids, it's so easy to turn to that person next to you and say, you're the enemy. Or feel that way, like the kids. Some, guys, let's be honest. I got a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old. There are times when I think, you're the problem. Not the impatience, not the selfishness, not the meh. That's the enemy, not her. And I'll tell you what, step one of marital counseling, or spiritual guidance, I should say, is this. We sit in the room, and I say, that person, not your enemy. You've come to think that, but no, you actually, guys, you promised that. When you get sick, who's going to be there for you? That person. And yet you're talking to her like that? And vice versa? We don't fight them. We fight for them. Do we understand that? The kids are not the problem. Johnny's not the problem. Johnny not knowing how to work with that anger inside of him is the problem. So Dad, go teach him. And if you don't know, go get help. Apathy, apathy, apathy. Make a phone call. You guys are in spiritual community. That's one of the main reasons you get in spiritual community, Jesus says. Take care of one another, says Christ. I'm gone right now. But you guys do life together. And you have a daughter that's dressing that way, she's not the problem. The ideas that she bought about womanhood, that's the enemy. And unfortunately, that's what the devil's going to use to take her down. So you stand up, Dad. I said before, the amount of men who, you can't touch my motorcycle, don't touch my truck, but they don't care who their daughter's going out with on Friday night? What is happening to America? Really? You know what I'm saying? But I mean, I don't know how you all feel, but I'm going to be that man. I'm going to fight those battles. And even when my kids hate me, I'm going to fight those battles. Because that may happen. But I'll also tell you something else. Years down the road, they'll really hate you for a different reason. Where were you? You let me marry that guy? Well, you didn't seem like you wanted my... But you stopped fighting for me. Get it? Not laying guilt on anybody. People in custody situations watching me online, they say, AJ, there's no way. These courts are so bent toward women because they have a uterus. What is the problem? I'm the better father. I've been fighting for 6 years. What do I do, AJ? And I say, keep fighting. Fight with everything you have legally. Fight. Because your kid's not going to remember that. They're going to remember 10 years from now, did you keep fighting for me? Or did you give up, Dad? Did you give up on me? Right? I'm going to be that man. And Jesus is teaching us how to be that man. You keep fighting for your family. How about this? Once upon a time, you tried to set the tone in the house. You tried to meet her needs and be the initiator. But you got wore down, or she wore you down, or apathy held you in a place where you aren't getting it done what you needed to be done. That happens to a lot of men. So guess what happened? She took the wheel. And I want to read you something. It's Dr. David Stoop. I'm getting a lot out of this, Mike. Mike, let me borrow this book. He goes into neuroscience. He goes into the counseling sort of stuff. Really cool stuff. But he said something that really helped. We're talking about men and women. Let's talk about the marriage for a minute. Why we're taking this fight. Why we're going on this journey. Why, if you're not going to be here next week, you follow online. Why are we going to do this and step up and be this man? I'll tell you why. One of the first consequences of the fall is the conflict between husband and wife, and in many ways, between men and women in general. God told Eve, Genesis 3:16, "You will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you." You may not believe that, but God, Creator God, just said, this is now going to be inside of you. And it might be a low growling, or it might be up top, but this is truth. You will desire to control your husband, he'll rule over you. This competition between men and women has been compounded in recent generations, in part due to the redefinition of femininity, he said it, I didn't, as well as the failed attempt to define what it means to be masculine. Follow me. Rather than attempt to understand what the Bible means by submission, our culture has redefined what it means to be a woman. And now, being a woman means to take charge. And rather than attempt to understand the submissive leadership of men described in the Bible, men are often simply passive. We use the word submissive leadership for the husband based on the introduction to the famous "love your wife and submit to your husband" passage, which Christ teaches us. The pattern of passivity in men and the take charge attitude in women leave a man not really knowing how to relate to women anymore. Instead, men talk about how complex a woman is and joke about how impossible it is to understand her. Y'all know that's true. That's in every comedian's punchline. This works to keep alive that part of our fallen culture's attempt to continuously fuel the competition between the sexes. Now, here's what I mean. If we're to understand what the Bible means by the man being the head, then he becomes the one who sets the course for the marriage and for the relationships in his life. He is not passive. Instead, he is a loving initiator. When what the Bible typically calls submission has been given so many different interpretations that he prefers to use a different term. Now, I love this. Listen. Instead, I say, this guy says, the wife is basically a responder. She will respond to whatever course the husband will chart. If he's passive, she'll take over. If he's a tyrant, she will rebel. If he charts a clear, loving course, she will respond with a sense of feeling secure and loved. See, normally when you read that, women nod. When a husband charts the course in a loving, serving, humble way, he'll be walking on God's path. In speaking to married groups and in working with couples in my office, I've found that when I explain this to the husband, the wife usually agrees. She would typically silently nod her head in agreement along with a knowing smile. I've also found that when a husband becomes a loving initiator, the temptations outside of the marriage dwindle way down because he's getting it the godly way. So here's what I'm trying to say by this. This is, if the, okay. Women will step up and be the leader of their family, the disciplinarian, the teacher, the coach, the guide, the compass, the cook, the cleaner, but there will be bitterness if they have to do this. And you want to know why? Because it's not fair and it's not right. Boy, this is unpopular. Should I keep going on this? This is good. Why do you think culture has done this? Men have chosen to be passive, chosen to just, again, abdicate the responsibilities and even the masculinity and totally misunderstand what servant leadership is. And so what women have had to do was step up and raise the family on their own because dad can't be bothered anymore. Sure, he's working, but he's reading the paper all the time. And I'm raising these kids by myself, and so I get angry and I get bitter about it. And that's why media has reflected that. That's why there's no good men on TV anymore. Maybe Tim Allen in Last Man Standing. There's no good dads anymore. We're all Homer Simpson now. Why? Because 30 years ago, women were fed up. Why are you letting us have to do this? Where's the Andy Griffiths that had wisdom, that could raise their kid? He takes Opie fishing, guys. Even Bill Cosby. I hate to say how he fell, but look at Heathcliff Huxtable. For the first time, I feel like the African-American community went, good job in parenting. How do we parent? And they all glued to their TV, right? Not anymore, because women are so angry. Why? Because we left them to do everything. The strong man left the door. And so women, I feel it, by the way, off of you. Okay, that's fine. But this is actually in response to and healing you guys. When a man steps up and does what they're supposed to do, the women thrive. I mean, we're so deluded nowadays, too, that we think that if men do step up, we're being overly aggressive and challenging women, and women are supposed to be. No. And where am I getting that? Not AJ's opinion. The Bible. We're supposed to step up and take care of. And I'm not talking sugar daddy. I'm not talking boss. I'm talking, right, submissive servant leadership. We don't even know what that term means anymore. Oh, how we have fallen as a culture. And I'm not railing on it, but this country is full of strong, jaded women who had to do this and had to do that. Now they're jaded. They're burned out because there was no strong man to keep fighting for her and her kids. Keep pointing them away from danger into Jesus. All right, so we're going to power it down here in a second. So, men, some of you are probably saying, okay, AJ, 2 weeks of convincing me that it's important to be that man that follows Jesus with my masculinity, to fight apathy, to see the real Jesus, to be the strong man. Okay, AJ, you said don't give up on fighting for our kids and our wife, but what do I do, AJ? Because I'm convinced. Okay, enemy. Yes, I want to be that man. What do I do? We're going to start building this slowly. We're going to start small. The small task, but a big yield, okay? I think some of you will gather what this is if you've been walking with God for a while. What did I say? There are 5 things a man needs to be. As both father and husband, I would say. Protector, provider, promoter, priest, prophet. What are you talking about, AJ? Well, you missed church. So go back to listen to a couple weeks ago, and I explained those. One of them is priest of your house. You, whether you acknowledge it or not, men, we are the head. The head describes... Ready? Let's correct this a bit. Especially because some of you got the snot kicked out of you by men who really misinterpreted that. The head means this. Let's just look at our bodies. The head is the one that decides where my body goes. Right? Sometimes, I know this is bad, but you know how little kids have big heads? My kid doesn't have a particularly big head, but when I want to move him, I just push his head a little bit and he goes. It's true. That's what it means to be head, guys. It's true. So here's the thing. The head, the thing about being the head is it's not a class or a rank. Get rid of that. It's a responsibility. That's what I'm trying to say. Being the head of household as Jesus, it's not a privilege. It's a job. Oh, that's good. My gosh, that actually answers some stuff in my head. Because he wasn't wrong in saying that. We took it and took it as a promotion or a class. It's a responsibility. It's a job, man. The head's awfully busy all the time, looking for danger, hearing things, right? That's what it means to be head. So this week, one little thing as we build the series we're going to be doing this summer, I think. I don't even know. Now, you can choose apathy, or you can just do what I'm going to tell you, which you know is right. And at the end of this week, you're going to learn something about yourselves. This week, one little thing we're going to do is you, men, you pray for everyone in your family, your nuclear family, every single day. Turn off the radio if you're in the truck, whatever. Just talk out loud to our commander and just pour out your heart. But AJ, I don't know what to say. Okay. Baby steps. Ready? How about this? Just bring to the warrior king every day what we desire for our kids and our grandkids. So here's a model prayer, not rehearsed. But AJ, you pray all the time. Yeah, whatever. This is what I pray at night. I say, Father, please protect us. Please keep us healthy. Keep us all together. And help us to hear you. I don't know. Oh, and also, we're really kind of nervous about ticks this summer. So I start pouring out my heart. Bev got us those oils, but I don't really know. I please just keep us safe from those ticks. And, you know, whatever else. And Alex is working on his L's, and they're coming along really, really well. Thanks for that, and just keep going. And next thing you know, you're sharing yourself with God, opening ourselves up to him, pouring out our complaints, right? Spending time with your commander-in-chief who actually told you to do this. Men, you can either be that man. And if you're not going to remember, set it on your phone, your tablet, your blah, 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 right in the fridge. Pray for family. Or don't, and continue to aim wherever. But if you aim at I don't know, you're going to hit mediocrity or worse, calamity. When you pray, you're plugging into the ultimate power source for your family on their behalf. That's a strong man. And one that in time, you ready for this, gets stronger. One last thing I want to say about this. Obviously, I kept having thoughts, but I have authority as a dad and a husband that no one else on earth has for my wife and children. Like I said, when it was Walt and his daughter, he had that authority. When he handed over, leave and cleave, now Jeremy, the husband, now has that spot of authority, that realm of authority. Go read The Power of a Praying Woman, Power of a Praying Wife. That's a book that sold. Remember that? Anybody remember that at all? Was it Stormy O'Martian that read that? But anyway, she talks about the authority you have. Nobody else has the power and authority. Well, man, you may not have been standing at that door. Get in the doorway right now with that prayer. Use that authority. So let's pray for them this week. Fight the fights, even when it feels like you're fighting them. Just keep fighting. Don't give up. Don't stop standing guard, even when they hate you or seem distant. So let's sing Lord, I Need You, because, man, they have no shot at doing this without him.